sur mon lit à bouffer sa langue en buffant trop mon whisky. Quant à moi, un peu dormi, vide et bris, mais j'ai dû dormir dans la gouttière où j'ai eu un flash. En quatre couleurs.
And welcome to I'm Trying to Think, episode 41. Je m'appelle Chuck Werner. Et avec moi, et Dave Stern.
Hello.
I don't think I said I'll have that right.
I don't know. I don't know French. So
welcome to a special French edition of I'm Trying to Think. We're going to speak in French. We're going to cover French topics and French-related topics and French-related topics.
French-related is probably even better.
Yeah, French-related topics. I'm Trying to Think is a podcast sponsored by the Foundation Institute. You can find them online at Found. Hey, I was listening to that.
No, I'm saying we eventually got to cut it from the background.
Whatever.
Making editorial decisions live.
Foundation-institute.org. You could check I'm Trying to Think out online at I'mTryingToThink.com. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/I'mTryingToThink. Facebook is a thing.
Okay.
And we're there, and you can become a fan.
I'll just right off the bat, I will apologize for throwing you off your groove by exercising editorial control. But
Facebook,
I was going to say, you're going to thank me when Plastic Bertrand doesn't sue us.
Is a thing. you can write us at contact@imtryingtothink.com. And in fact, we have listener mail that we'll
listener
get to
mail.
Later.
Listener mail.
And maybe the first in our 100 episode series of 5 minutes about somebody who fanned the show on Facebook.
Yep, we put out the call and we got a response.
Actually, the truth is that I said that I would do it when we had 100 fans, but someone is demanding 5 minutes in order that they become a fan.
Also, this way seems smarter. I think spacing it out is going to make for, you know, not a 500-minute episode that's tedious.
I wasn't proposing a 500-minute episode, but
seems like you're proposing a 500-minute episode.
I would have to release 5-minute episodes. And if I'd only did it once a week, it would take 2 years. So, so you have to get on it. I mean, I have to get on it at some point, I guess. So why not front-load it a little bit?
Later in the show. We'll do it. It'll happen.
All right. Well, Dave, the first French-related topic I would like to relate today is Brett Favre.
Favre?
Favre. I'm pretty sure that's a French name, right?
Yeah, I would say he's from the Mississippi, I think. So
there are Acadians there.
He's probably Cajun. Yeah, he's probably Cajun.
All right.
He's probably eating po' boys.
Po' boys are pretty good.
Something about crawdads? I don't
crawdads
know.
Are a word. And Facebook is a thing. So, I just want to talk about the Brett Favre news. Because he allegedly sent pictures of his pee-pee to a girl.
Yep. More importantly,
unwelcome pictures of a...
The reason it's, you know, controversy as opposed to, you know, say, Jeff Reed sending pictures of his pee-pee to a girl in Pittsburgh, which, you know, was a little bit of news, but, you know, was not national news.
Yeah.
Is because he sent pictures of his dong to a work colleague.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
After already having been spurned.
Yep.
And that's spurned, not spermed, which would be different. So,
that's
Brett
a different
Favre,
thing.
Here's the thing I want to talk about, though. And that is that I need all the news people to slow down. If you're out there and you're in the news business, I need you to slow down. Because before I knew what Brett Favre did, I was bombarded with the news that it might affect his career. But the news was delivered such that it was like, will this Brett Favre scandal jeopardize his career? Not, and this is what he did. So I just heard Brett Favre did something bad. It might jeopardize his career. We're not telling you what it is. I googled Brett Favre to try and find out what he did. But the news on the internet about Brett Favre was already the meta news. It was already like, Brett Favre apologizes to his teammates for distraction. Brett, will this affect the, you know, Vikings game? Will this affect his career? Will Roger Goodell suspend him? I'd like to know what he did first.
Then modern news is not for you.
Frankly. I know. That's why I'm telling the people out there.
I mean,
slow down.
It's not. I don't even think it's a matter of speed in this case. I think it's just a matter of how modern news works on all levels. Like, you know, sports reporting, political reporting is secret is reporting on events or facts. Like, events or facts are kind of passé. They're interesting in only relation to how they affect a media narrative.
And that's why I think they need to slow down. I think it should be 3 days before you can comment on a news story. 3 day minimum. And that goes for everybody. If you tell me tomorrow that Brett Favre also had a dogfighting ring, I don't want you to hear, I don't want to hear your opinion about that. I only want you to deliver it to me in an unbiased, nonpartisan, you know, objective viewpoint. Then, today is Monday, on Thursday, we can talk about it.
Well, actually, I'm just going to give you my quick take, is I think it's just a bunch of good old boys out there having fun in their Wranglers, you know, tossing around some pit bulls.
Yeah, I'd see. I told you 3 days.
They're like kids out there.
Because you're like a child. You have no perspective.
See, they're like kids. They're just having so much fun out there.
All right. Well, that's number one about Brett Favre. He sounds like a cheese.
Oh man!
Don't you think it sounds like a
cheese?
Yeah,
that sounds like a kind of a spreadable cheese.
And it's funny because he was
specifically because I was at the Trader Joe's, and.
You got some Favre cheese?
No, but what they had in the little Trader Joe's sample area.
Did the pictures include any pictures of Favre cheese? Was there a little Favre cheese in the picture? Because, I mean, he's an older guy.
Yeah, don't want to know.
That was so gross.
Took me to a place. Not a place I wanted to go.
That was great. Okay, keep with your story, though.
I was saying, they had the little dinner rolls with Chèvre.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I assume, Favre would be a spreadable cheese that, just sort of comes back on you at the worst time, like late in the fourth quarter.
I don't like any soft cheese that doesn't have the name Philadelphia in it.
Going with the cream?
Cream cheese, that's
really it. The adjective you want in front of your spreadable cheese is not goat.
Absolutely. It's cream. Yeah. I mean, I've had other cheeses that are all right, but I've found that there's something wrong with a soft cheese, just at a basic level. And now rewinding, digressing back to Brett Favre. The second thing is that I think, and maybe this is why I like sports, but I do think that we are watching the real life incarnation of Greek tragedy play out. Because he's not a humble man, you know? He had his chance to gracefully retire from the game of football. But he turned it down.
Mm-hmm. That would be his tragical flaw.
I think 3 times he turned it down.
He denied it 3 times.
Pride is his tragic flaw. And on the 3rd time, the gods were so angry with him that first they made his phone send pictures of his penis to that girl. 2nd, they made his team lose and look really, really awful despite bringing aboard Randy Moss. And 3rd, they made his ankle break, or his leg break in 2 places, I guess, this week.
Yeah, his ankle got messed up.
So, I mean, it's just like, look, Brett, Zeus and Hera, they're fed up. And all the other ones, too. You know, Athena, all of them.
All we need all to complete them. Sort of the Greek tragic sort of real circle is that it turns out he was sending dick pictures to his daughter.
Yeah, that would,
He didn't know, but Jen Sturger is his daughter.
Yeah, and he didn't know, yeah. Which is actually probably possible, because she probably is, like, half his age.
Yep, and he did a lot of painkillers, so, you know, who knows? Maybe he doesn't know.
He might not. But that would complete the Greek tragedy that is Brett Favre. And then he would have to become Brett Favreopoulos.
Greek.
Yeah.
Greek. I got where you're going.
Boop, 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 boop. That's how I'm going to end all my jokes.
It's a good stinger.
Thank you.
I like that. It's catchy.
Yeah,
it's catchy.
Yeah. I could, like, actually write it on a keyboard this week on account of me getting Rock Band 3.
Which has the keyboard in it.
And comes tomorrow, Dave.
Nice.
And I can't play it till, like, Sunday.
Because you got shit to do.
Yeah, because everybody picked this week to do shit and also have work. That's annoying.
Shame on work.
I know, but I'm making up for it. Here's my plan. Rock Band 3 comes out. I will not get to play it day it comes out. By the time I'm playing it, everybody will be done with it, which is like 6 days later, because that's the...
Yeah, that's the life cycle.
That's the life cycle of a $60 video game. Actually, this is more towards, you know, what, like 100 or something because of the accessories.
You got the guitar.
But I have decided I'm going to take December 7th and perhaps December 8th off for midnight World of Warcraft Cataclysm launch.
So you're picking and choosing your video game nerd disappearances.
I didn't do it last year. Last expansion, which was actually like 2 years ago, for the Wrath of the Lich King expansion to the World of Warcraft. And now I'm just alienating some portion of our listeners, but not really a lot of them, because they're nerds. So, for the Wrath of the Lich King, I didn't. I just, like, started playing, like, halfway through the day it launched. This time, I'm going hog wild. I'm going overboard. And the best part is the reason I am okay with this is that the Blizzard has said that you can get a digital download it the day before it launches. This means at midnight, I do not have to be anywhere near a GameStop or other gaming store where there are people who play World of Warcraft. I play World of Warcraft. I have lots of friends who play World of Warcraft. I don't want to meet the people who are at the midnight World of Warcraft launch.
Well, I mean, yeah, you got to... Tenuous as it may be, you got to draw a line somewhere in the sand.
We've talked about this kind of thing before, because I like Fish. I'm not going to a Fish concert. I like the Dave Matthews Band. I'm not going to a DMB concert. You know, I like some heavy metal music. Not going to a heavy metal concert. I like some indie music. Never going to an indie concert. Never, Dave. Not happening. You could have the yeah, 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 yes, and I'm not going.
Oh, man, that's like, that's 133% as much yeah as you.
Yeah, that's a lot more yeah. Well, okay, maybe not a lot more, but.
No, that's a good solid. That's 4/3 the yeah.
How many yeahs before you're done? Before you can't take any more yeah? Because, like, Maps being the yeah, yeah, yeah song that you're supposed to know. Because it's on the Rock Band. Let's face it.
I know lots of yeah, yeah, yeah songs.
Yeah, that's because you're an indie nerd.
Yeah,
you're a hipster doofus.
That's fair.
Okay. It's a pretty light song, mm-hmm. Maps. So I think I could take like 12 yeahs before I'm out. And that would be 4 times the yeah, yeah, yeahs.
I'd say about 7 or 8 tops, because they get jumpier. Oh, wow. They get jumpier than that song.
Dave cannot handle as many yes as me. Please note it in the log.
All right. And I guess before we get through this,
yes.
I just want to spin back around.
Spin back around. Like the Spin Doctors, who had that wonderful album, Pocket Full of Kryptonite, Dave.
Indeed. Remember exactly
back.
Like the Spin Doctors.
Remember
going
back.
Down to...
It's like our generation's Stairway to Heaven is Little Miss Can't Be Wrong.
Oh, man.
And you know what? The Spin Doctors are French, so this fits in.
I'm honestly just disappointed.
They're actually originally known as Le Spin Docteur.
I'm disappointed on 2 levels
right now. I think that sounded kind of German there.
That actually did, yeah.
But I know that the German for doctor, German for doctor is not Doktor, it's like Arzen or something.
Spin Gefulzen White.
I remember.
I don't know. I don't speak German.
Yeah.
But anyhow, I was disappointed on 2 levels there.
All right.
One, was because he's trying to spin us back to Favre.
Mm-hmm.
But he couldn't get it, so we talked about the Spin Doctors for a minute. That was a little disappointing to me.
The Spin Doctors.
And the second thing that was disappointing was you grabbed the Little Miss Can't Be Wrong joke before I could. Because I was going to spin back away from the Spin Doctors with a Little Miss Can't Be Wrong reference.
It just didn't work. All right, well.
Didn't work. Yeah, I'm not even sure how I was going to do it.
Reapproach.
But I was 10 seconds away from doing it.
Reapproach.
See, now I don't even know.
It is, if you look, it's Arzt.
Ah.
Yeah, I totally translated German correctly. German for doctor is Arzt.
Arzt like the guy, du Spinnen.
Like the guy in Lost.
In Lost, yeah. He was Dr. Arzt.
Yeah.
Well, doctor. Give me the news. You got spin a bad doctors, case of loving you.
Spin Doctors in German looks to be Spin Doktoren. I don't know how that works, but Google Translate wouldn't.
Declension. That makes sense.
Google Translate wouldn't lie to me, would it? Would it, Dave?
It would.
All right. Well, anyways, did you completely forget and abandon the point you were? Or
no. I've got the point. I'm standing on my point. You wanted me to somehow reconstruct a joke that I was like 10 seconds away from making, and that wasn't happening. But I can tell you right now, the main point I have about this Favre scandal and this Jeff Reed scandal, like
the non-existent,
yeah,
Jeff
the non. Well, it was a local. It was a Pittsburgh sort. It was not a scandal so much as a brouhaha.
It was a Pittsburgh brouhaha. It was an incident.
Yeah, okay,
the
incident.
Brouhaha is when he beat up paper towel dispensers.
Yeah, that's a brouhaha.
That is a brouhaha.
But here's the thing.
Or shenanigans.
How hard is it? That's not the question, by the way, because that could be the question I can see, but that's half the question. Incidentally, I've heard... And only just to answer my own not the question.
Yeah.
I've heard it was limp, which seems to be not how you go about doing that procedurally.
I don't know. It depends, you know? It really depends. There's a lot of biological concerns on if you're taking the penis picture, what kind of shape you want the penis to be in for the picture. There's a lot of question marks there.
No, that's definitely not the shape. No one wants to see that. But anyhow, to ask the whole question I was going to be asking before I answer the half question.
Yeah.
How hard is it to not take pictures of your penis and send them to people? Because,
well,
I gotta say, I mean, I'm not famous.
No.
We'll start out there.
No. Well, let's...
Which means, you know, I, as a person, have even less to lose and fewer people care.
Can you name a third person so we can really start to get a... Start to make, you know, FBI-style psychological profile?
Of penis senders.
You got your Brett Favre, you got your Jeff Reed. That's two football players.
I can't think of any.
I
can't think of any other famous penis picture
senders.
We
need a third penis picture sender, and then we can start to build a psychological profile.
I just really don't see how it's difficult to just be like,
hey,
I shouldn't send this.
My pants are on. Maybe I shouldn't take them off. Use the camera to take a picture of the penis. And then send it through the... I don't know what the game is. I've known a lot of women in my life. I do not know many who I could theorize might be wooed by genital pictures.
This is a place where I'm actually going to have to dissent from you a little bit.
You think you know a lot of women who want genital pictures?
I'm not going to say a lot. A lot is generous. But... Because here's, I think, one of the differences between you and me in terms of expertise is, I believe you have been in a committed monogamous relationship during the entire age of sexting. More or less. The age of modern sexting.
The age of modern sexting. I don't know. I mean,
MMS has been around for a while. And I'm sure as long as it's been around, people have been sending each other pictures of their junk.
Well, let's go back to an age of email pictures of your junk.
Yeah.
Like chat room pictures of your junk.
Yeah, I mean...
That's more personal, at least, you know?
Mm-hmm. As long as communication tools, they will be used to send pictures of
junk. Pictures of your junk, and that's fine. I think if you're in a relationship, then there are times when pictures of your junk are appropriate.
Certainly.
But outside, I'm talking about outside of a relationship.
Yeah, in a wooing
I'm talking about
context.
Trying to woo with pictures of the genitals.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Like, if you're, let's say you're online, like, you're talking to somebody, maybe you send them a picture of a tattoo or, like, your glamour shot from high school or something. But I just don't know when you get the idea into your head. Like, ah, you know what? This girl has turned me down twice. But when I send her a picture that is the equivalent of a still from the movie Saw, she'll certainly be turned towards my advances.
Yeah.
Because that is just... Because you're just throwing out a slab of meat. A slab of hairy, floppy meat. And if you went into a butcher shop, you would not order it. So I don't even get the idea. You know, I just don't get it.
There's a few levels where it's problematic to me.
You see, now, I don't
for
know.
For sure.
I have to go, and this is pure opinion at this point. And I know there will be gentlemen out there who disagree with me, right? But for a woman to send me a picture of her, I don't know, is junk still an appropriate term?
Yeah, lady junk.
Lady junk. Would not do, that wouldn't get me going anywhere. That would scare me off a little.
Like just a sheer, like...
Just sheer lady
right
junk.
Down. Sheer, yeah, that
the
seems...
Same, like Brett Favre. But for Lady Junk. Wearing the Crocs, even.
Oh, man, there were Crocs involved?
Yeah, he was
that
wearing Crocs.
That makes the whole thing
yeah,
it's worse.
Just, it's yeah.
Like, you know, sometimes you forget that he's a 45-year-old man. And just,
yeah.
Oh,
Crocs were involved.
It's terrible.
Yeah, so I just don't, you know, a booby. Yeah, okay, yeah, you maybe, you're getting somewhere.
Yeah.
But,
That's good, clean fun.
That is good, clean American fun. But yeah, Lady Junk, I'm sorry, it's just not. Again, butcher shop, still from the movie Saw, etc., etc., etc. That doesn't make me a prude, okay? I'm not a prude, I'm just being honest here.
You know, just don't want to see photographic close-ups of junk.
I'm just, no, I'm
That's
saying,
fine.
Look, you know, sculpture of David, beautiful, you know, the whatever the Da Vinci one is. I can't even remember the place where the man is from. Mongolian man? Mingodongian man?
Guy in the middle of circle whose
yeah,
arms
guy,
are out?
Guy in the middle of circle whose arms are out. Again, junk in that picture. It's still a lovely piece of art. We're not talking about, like, a painting or, you know, some artistic expression of the human body.
Hey,
we're
wait.
Talking about a low-res...
Are you shitting on
poor
photography
lighting
as an art form?
...picture of some person's pasty fucking crotch with meat flopping all over the place. That's what we're talking about. It's not artistic. It's not beautiful. And I will not cotton to people using those terms to describe it. Dave.
I feel like you're arguing against a position that isn't really being advanced by anyone.
We're calling, you could call this a straw man, Dave, but I would not. I would call it a stick man. Because the second house was made of sticks. Now, I wouldn't exactly call it a brick man, which, you know, the third piggy made his house out of bricks, but I would say a stick man.
So that's like three simultaneous metaphors?
I don't know. I'm working on a record. I'm hoping that Sir Alec Guinness is listening for his Sir Alec Guinness Book of World Records. Not to be confused, the Guinness Book of World Records or the Guinness the Beer Book of World Records. Neither of those are the same. Those are three different distinct things. And I think Sir Alec Guinness is dead.
Correct.
So I'm hoping his estate is listening to give me a Sir Alec Guinness World Record.
Well, they're called the Sings.
The Sings, yeah. Because it's Sir, and then Alex in French. Again, French is with an I, it's spelled. And then the French words for world record is something, NG, I don't know. Like I said, I don't speak French.
Nom de guerre.
Yeah, nom de guerre.
That's French for world record.
Numelos Guerroa.
That doesn't sound like French.
No, that doesn't.
You've lost it.
I told you at the top of the hour, if you will, I told you at the top of the hour that I did not speak French. Now, Dave, are you ready to take a little break, come back with more, I'm trying to think?
Yeah, I think just to close it out. Don't put your penis on the internet. Come on. Because then it's just out there.
It
you
is,
know that.
It is literally just out there. We'll be right back with more, I'm trying to think. Alone. 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 Qui dit études dit travail. Qui dit taf te dit les thunes. Qui dit argent dit dépenses. Qui dit crédit dit créance. Qui dit dette te dit huissier. Lui dit assis dans la merde. Qui dit amour dit les gosses. Dit toujours et dit divorce. Qui dit proche te dit deuil car les problèmes ne viennent pas. Hey, welcome back to episode 41 of I'm Trying to Think. That was Alors on danse by Stroma. And opening the show today, we had Plastic Bertrand's Ça plan pour moi, which means that plane for me. And he's singing about how he hopes his, this single takes off so that he can buy a private jet.
Oh.
No, that's not what it's about. That's
could have fooled me.
Yeah, I know. That's why it's awesome. Yeah. No.
It's like, I like the song. I could care less what it's about.
Yeah, ça plan pour moi means something like, it's flowing for me.
Ah.
So, like, it just means, like, that's how it, they're the kind of, like,
go with the flow?
Like, laid
back.
It's French. Who knows? It's probably existential.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're probably, like, it means that we are insignificant in the giant scope of time and that our lives are but flecks of dust.
You know?
And it's all right.
It's funny that you bring up man's insignificance in infinite universe.
Uh-oh.
Because we talked about...
Is it funny that I bring that up? That's not true.
It's not funny, ha-ha.
Dave, what is the relationship between funny, ha-ha, and funny, odd, or ironic? Why do we say it's funny for both things?
Because it's funny, peculiar.
Did I just blow your mind a little?
No.
Damn it!
Not really.
All right, well, whatever.
Makes sense, because there's laugh out loud amusement funny. Not just funny like, this is strange.
Go to your topic.
Okay, yeah. That's what I was saying, you know, episode 40, we talked a little bit, and I know we talked a lot before episode 40, but then we touched on it in the episode about, you know, how the universe is infinite. Everything has happened, everything, you know, will happen, etc., etc.
Probably, yes. Mathematically.
Very likely.
That is likely.
So, that sort of brought me about, our bound is not a word, but that brought me around thinking about something that my mind occasionally goes to,
mm-hmm.
And that is sort of the inflection points in your life, like, places where things could have been different, and for me... For some reason, I'm not sure why, maybe this is just the way I think about it.
Yeah.
But I kind of skip the obvious ones. Like, it's just like, oh, what if you took a different job? What if you lived in a different place? You went to a different college, you know?
Yeah.
What if you're with, you know, a different lady? You know, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, those are, you know, that's the big ones. It's like, I don't know. For some reason, I like thinking about the things where just, like, a slight tweak where it's just like, it seems like, and my life would have been medium different. Like, or maybe medium to small different.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there would have been an appreciable difference. And I wonder what it is.
Yeah,
you know, stuff like that.
Well, I mean, I can understand that. I find it interesting, Dave, that what brings the both of us here together right now at this moment, inevitably, if I trace it backward, is you having a crush on a extremely... Christian girl.
At the time, yeah.
Yeah, like, isn't that crazy?
Yep.
Like, that doesn't make any sense. How would that get us here? That doesn't make sense. But that's how we got here. I mean, indirectly.
Yeah.
She has nothing to do with anything anymore.
Well, she's out in San Francisco.
I mean, in this. She has nothing to do with she's anything cool. that's right
no,
here.
No, no, in this causality chain.
Yeah.
And she left town a few years ago.
Her presence only served to bring you and I together. And then, poof, gone. Gone, Dave. Gone. I'm pretty sure she doesn't listen, so we can talk bad about her or whatever. Let's do that.
Is this even bad?
Yeah.
Why are you doing that?
Bad. What's going on? I don't know. Nothing.
Why is this happening?
No, that was always. She was always pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then eventually she recovered from the whole religion thing. So that's good. That's a success story in my book.
Mm-hmm. Engaged to an Irish guy.
The Pope. No, he's French. Never mind.
No, he's German.
German French.
Man, if he was French and was in the Hitler Youth, that would have been awkward.
Yeah, he's French German Hitler Youth.
I don't think Hitler Youth is an ethnicity.
He's.
I think you're confused about a lot of things right now.
All right. Well, regardless, I'm just saying that's a crux point. That is a crux point.
Oh, you're going back to talking about us meeting. No, I thought you were talking about the Pope being in the Hitler Youth, which is also probably a crux point for him.
Yeah, that's a crux point for him. Yeah.
You gotta want.
But then,
what would happen if the Pope had skipped Hitler Youth Club?
But then we have to trace it back to a guy who that girl had a crush on that brought her into contact with him, into contact with me, into contact with you.
It's like a chain.
And then that guy I only knew because I met his brother at college in my freshman year. Boom.
It causality just goes back.
It explodes.
You tweak one link. Things are just different.
And then you hope that every leap is the leap home.
Yeah. Quantum leap.
Quantum leap. Scott Blackula.
Man, I was trying to think. Could you for $20 name, and this is not an active challenge because I don't have that kind of money on me. What do I look
All
like
right,
I'm
for
made
$20
of
that you don't have... And that
Could you
I won't
name
get.
Any actor on that show who's
name
not Scott Bakula?
Name any actor on that show who's not Scott Bakula. Oh, Dean Stockwell?
I think you're right. And looking at, judging from your facial expression as you came up with that, I think you also pooped.
I think I might have blown a gasket while trying to think of Dean Stockwell's name.
That was just, oh man.
Then to add to if you ask me another actor beyond that, I mean, they were the two actors that, like, because no one else stayed because they kept freaking jumping through time.
They were Al and the guy.
So I would
I don't
have
even
to guess.
Which one's Al.
I'd have to start just, like, guessing bit part actors from the
80s and early 90s.
Yeah, early 90s-ish, I guess. So I would guess, like, and then I can't come up with names even. I would guess, like, Murdoch from the A-Team.
I guess
he was
Terry
in a lot
O'Quinn
of shows.
Played a sheriff.
Oh, yeah. Terry O'Quinn was in the police in some episode, I'm sure. I mean, gotta be. But, yeah, I can't. And no. I can name the characters. You got Ziggy Allen, Sam. Bam! That's it.
Man, I only had one. I just had one of them named Al.
You don't even know which one is Al?
I think it's the guy who's talking to him.
It's the hologram, yeah.
Dean Sam's,
Stockwell.
Sam's the guy.
Yeah,
Sam's
the guy.
He's the bad
Ziggy is a computer, I think.
Okay.
I can't remember. Ziggy's like either a computer or a girl, and I can't. Or maybe a computer girl. I don't know. I thought Sam's wife was involved somehow, but I don't remember. Quantum Leap is a difficult time in my life.
You know, we had this topic. You know, it was like the infinite, you know, universe and just how all these chains in our lives affect us.
Uh-huh.
I thought we were going to maybe go somewhere meaningful, something existential.
Yeah.
And now we're just talking about the quantum leap.
Well, I mean, quantum. Look at quantum leap. Quantum leap is good.
I'm disappointed in us. I'm frankly disappointed in us.
Oh, that's just. I don't think you should be disappointed. We inevitably live in a world that is chained together by crappy sci-fi shows that, you know, lasted 4 years.
Hey. Remember that thing that's meaningful in human existence, but is also kind of like Sliders?
What is that thing exactly?
I really wasn't expecting you to follow up on that.
You are not prepared.
No. Not at all.
Okay. Yeah, Ziggy is the artificial intelligence that runs the project and attempts to deduce the purposes of Sam's leap. There's a whole, like, other philosophical thing going on in Quantum Leap where he's in an accident, right? And he has this brain problem and he's jumping around through time. And he doesn't know why, right? But there's always a purpose, and when he fulfills that purpose, he jumps again, right? And he's hoping again that every leap is the leap home. But you have to then construe that there's this external force to the whole thing that is defining what these purposes are.
Yeah, Quantum Leap is kind of pro-religious, isn't it?
Yeah, it would infer a force that creates meaning, which, again, to get back to your point about existentialism, we would have to, you and I think, agree.
Yeah, man creates, I think Sam creates his own meaning.
Existence precedes essence.
Yeah.
So something is, and then we define it. And that means that the purpose has to be defined by some external force.
Well, you think maybe Sam has...
Al explains...
You know what would be interesting, I think?
Well, actually, Al explains that their best theory to what's going on is that God, time, fate, or whatever, wants Sam to save the man, as well as his unborn daughter, before he can leap out. And that's this from the first episode. So, There you go. God, time, fate, or whatever.
See,
I don't see how time and fate are different in that, really. But whatever.
You know what I think would be an interesting quantum leap?
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, if you do like a sort of Ronald Moore style, you know, reboot.
Mm-hmm.
It's just existentialist quantum leap. Really, basically, there is no sort of external force that seems to imbue it with purpose. So, you know, Sam just suddenly starts in some guy's life, and he's just living that guy's life. There's not, like, a really obvious problem he has to solve. But, you know, maybe he's just feeling a little down, but, like, not even, you know, he just has to get through it. He just has to he has to give it his own purpose.
Yeah, that would take, like, a whole new kind of existential spin on it. That actually just reminds me of the episode of Star Trek where Picard finds the flute or whatever, and he lives, like, a whole life that's separate, and then when he dies, he just wakes up, and so he's lived, like, this, like, 40 years of life or something that he remembers and never happened.
Exactly. It's like, you know, a lot of episodes where Sam is just, you know, drinking coffee, reading the paper, and being like, well, it's another day.
And you gotta, like...
And then when he says, you know, just, well, I guess it's another day, that's when he leaps. He figured it out.
The only thing about it, like, is that the poor people who had to go through Sam just taking over their body and living as them, like, that's a real violation. Also, it infers that all of these people could not solve their own problems.
Yeah, you know, it probably would have been a much less popular show and not enjoyed a 4-year run if it was called Quantum Rape.
Yeah, and
but
I mean,
that's
kind of what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta think about it deep, but yeah.
I don't like Quantum Leap anymore.
No, now it hurts me. It really hurts me. Alright, well, that's depressing.
And
so, your existentialist thing should pick us right up. Let's go back to that.
Sure. I guess I'll give it to you first.
How about those turning points in life?
Yeah, I've given you... You've had a chance to think, which you may or may not have wasted by only thinking about Quantum Leap.
Hey, wasted? So, that's a little judgmental, Dave.
I'm being
existence
judgmental.
Precedes essence. I define the value of that time that I wasted thinking about Quantum Leap.
How do you define it? Highly? Highly?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay, so maybe something percolated in the back of your mind while we're talking Quantum
Leap. Right
on. Are there any, like, little moments where you just think, man, if this had broken differently, my life would be not even very different, but slightly different?
All the time. Yeah. I mean, all the time. Like, why wouldn't you? I think that's human nature.
Well, any specific ones? That's kind of what I'm gunning
specific
for.
Specific one.
Anything specific.
That would be different. I think I view all my choices as hugely butterfly effect-like. Maybe that's crazy talk, but I mm-hmm. think that's the way I view things. Like, well, I think that this is probably a kind of a coping mechanism for regret.
Right.
Where it's like, oh, I should have, like, had a hamburger instead of a salad or something. And it's like, wait, if I had had the hamburger, I can't say what would have happened. That hamburger might have been poison. That hamburger might have been Jesus. You don't know what you're getting.
Where do you go to get hamburgers?
Jesus Poison Hamburger Shop.
That's a really, you know, I would say that's a creative name, but given what they're selling, it's kind of an uncreative name.
Yeah, it's
name.
Very uncreative, yeah. And I don't know why I told them that the marketing is way off. Anyways.
Well, really, the marketing is dead on is the problem.
So, I think that as a coping mechanism, I just go, well, you know, hindsight is not 20/20. Hindsight is looking at the past with blinders because you blind yourself to the options except what you think you would have liked to have happened. So you're like, oh, well, if I had done this differently, I would be so happy right now. And to bring this just crazy full circle around.
Uh-huh.
Part of what Buddhism defines as suffering is the belief that something, once you obtain something, it will make you happy, when the truth is that it will not. You'll experience momentary satisfaction, but you will inevitably find a new desire. And thus, it is desire that's the problem and not the lack of objects or things or people even, right? And I think that goes so much more strongly when you think about people who have regrets. The regret is the belief and the false belief that a different action in the past would have result in happiness now, which is not true.
Yeah, and kind of in a Buddhistic way, sort of regret is essentially a desire which definitionally cannot be fulfilled.
Absolutely. Well, and people love, I mean, people from both a psychological and a Buddhist standpoint, love to sabotage themselves into feeling bad by proposing things which are impossible. Because people are comfortable with feeling bad. They know how to do it. So,
got a lot of practice.
Just like easy, yeah. Ooh, gonna sit around home and feel sorry for myself.
I'm good at this.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, there's a meta argument to be made of like, well, you know, feeling sorry for yourself makes you happy, then you should do it. But I don't actually think that's true. It's kind of like, well, if cutting your arm off stops the infection, then you should do it. There's the do no harm first kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the weird thing for me is like, when I've at least lately been thinking about some of this inflection point stuff,
yeah,
it hasn't even been, you know, regretful. It's just been like, huh. Well, that would have been different.
Yeah, but Dave, your life...
Your odd life, speculation.
Your life... You're riding high on life right now.
It's true. I'm on the
upswing. You got, like, a great relationship with a new girlfriend. You got a different kind of job now. I mean, not different job, but you're working in a new place. So that kind of feels nice. It's not like the same old, oh, I gotta wake up and go to the same place again feeling. You're friends with me. Right now, you're sitting in my presence, and that just, I mean, that's like 3 points up right there.
Pretty solid.
So, yeah, well, your baseball team's not in the World Series this year.
No.
And your football team's kind of...
Oh, they're 5-1.
Yeah, I mean, they're 5-1, but they've been struggling at different times with different things. But, I mean, you got to give them 5. I mean, my football team's in the same situation where...
Yeah, a lot of nasty injuries. 5-1,
but real... Yeah, there's some struggling. Losing Aaron Smith's going to be a big deal. That's going to suck.
Yep.
But you got to truck on, Dave. Hindsight's not 20/20. If Aaron Smith had not gotten injured, my life would not be better.
Yep.
His life probably would be, though.
That's almost certain. But you never know.
No. You don't know. You never do know. And uncertainty is, in and of itself, a kind of suffering that we put ourselves through.
I will say, actually,
Dave,
it's kind of funny that you mentioned football.
Football!
Because, I'll tell you why. Because of...
existential football?
Yes, actually.
Go for it. I'm ready.
All of the things that I've been thinking about, probably the least consequential and most random would be as follows, I think.
All right.
Okay, so we start, we're going back to, you know, Dave growing up.
Oh, Dave growing up.
Now, here's the thing. I don't know if we've talked about this before, but, you know, as a kid, you know, you and I, you know, we're both nerds.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're both nerds who like sports.
Yeah.
But one thing where I think I was further, like, kind of a step up from even a lot of people who are nerds who like sports,
mm-hmm.
is, you know, I didn't even hate playing sports. Like,
I didn't hate playing sports.
I enjoyed playing sports. Yeah. And
I could never do it organized, you know. I could never do, like, the practice.
I did some stuff, you know. I did a little
talking
league.
Talking about practice.
You're talking about games.
I'm talking about a game. All right.
But anyhow, in seventh grade, for about 2 days, I joined the football team. Then, actually, and it seemed like it was going to go pretty well, actually. Because here's what happened. Because basically, especially when you're, like, kids at that age, you know, you're pretty much just going to get, you know, scramble of kids who all want to be the quarterback.
Right.
But at the time, you know, it's like, you know, I don't hate sports, you know, I'm decent at sports, but I'm still, you know, fat, nerdy kid. Which means, you know, one, I'm you know, fat kid. But two, you know, I'm smart. I don't have any illusions, you know. So I'm talking to the, I remember, you know, I'm on the bus, we're going to those, like, first practices, you know, I'm talking to the coach at some point, just because that's where I was sitting.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, you know, like, I don't remember, you know, obviously the exact words, but basically I said something to the effect of, you know, okay, you know, I know what I'm going to be doing here, you know. I know about where I'm going to be playing. Just, you know, teach me how to, you know, hit a guy so other guys can run through, you know. Because that's what I'm going to be doing. But I was, you know, I was enthused for it. And, like, he was just like, oh, someone who, you know, doesn't want to be a fucking wide receiver. So, you know, he was into it. So then I think there's about 2 days. And, like, I have just these pads that just, like, don't fit. And it just feels crappy.
Yeah.
And to this day, I can't remember why, like, the reasonable next thing to do would have been just be like, oh, hey, you know, I don't have pads to fit. Can we get a different size? And, you know, keep on going with it. But then I was just like, you know, that 2 days later, I'm, you know, running around these crappy pads. I don't like it. I'm just like, eh, no, done with this.
So you wonder what would have happened if you had gone the other way?
Yeah.
I don't know, but that could have been very different for you.
I know.
I mean, that could be a very big change. Whereas, like, me, it's, like, seventh grade, I wasn't in the musical. And then in eighth grade, I was in the musical. And I'm like, well, I should have just been in the musical in seventh grade. I would have had a lot more fun. And then when Fiddler on the Roof came up, I would have had a much better shot at Tevye. Like, I was second for Tevye, but the other guy was a year ahead of me, had a little more experience.
Yeah, and then he's going to get the Tevye.
Had a little, like, I don't think his singing voice was clearer. But he had a better range. He was more practiced at hitting notes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I think my voice probably sounds more Tevye. But so I really wasn't even seriously considered, even though I was the other guy ostensibly trying for the role. And they tried to push me into the Taylor, you know, Models Oil.
Yeah, but I mean, let's be honest. No. In terms of male roles in Fiddler, it's Tevye or bust.
Yeah, it's Tevye or bust.
Tevye or bust.
But the thing about
if you don't get to sing If I Were a Rich Man, you know, fuck that show.
The thing about
you don't get Sunrise, Sunset. Thing about,
no,
you know?
But Model gets Miracle of Miracles.
That's a pretty good one.
That's a big song.
That's a good one.
But way too high for me at the time, so. Well, at the time and since then, because my voice,
your voice
didn't
has
exactly
only gotten higher since.
Go up, yeah, so. yeah, it's
Wonder,
if I had done The Music Man in addition to Hello Dolly, I think my shot at Tevye or Model might have been better.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Yeah, and you know, now that we're talking about, you know, high school theater, I realized, you know, going into ninth grade, I thought I was going to be doing theater stuff, you know, acting in the plays.
Uh-huh.
Then I wound up doing theater tech stuff instead. Uh-huh. But what if that first audition... I'd made it, and I spent, like, high school in, like, theater crowd, not theater tech crowd. It's slightly different.
Yeah.
Slightly.
Yeah, they're both different. Huge losers, but in different ways, yeah.
Such different ways.
Yeah.
many questions.
If we could start to, you know, wrap this up a little bit, I often think, like, oh man, if I had stuck with, like, practicing piano, I didn't have, you know, a real teacher or anything, but, you know, I had piano books and stuff, and I practiced on a keyboard and stuff when I was much younger. And, you know, I often think, hey, if I kept up that practice, I would probably be just like I am now, but I would also play piano. Because I don't think that would have changed.
Right. But you'd have a nice skill.
Better, yeah. And, yeah, it's better than the other skills I got, which are, yeah, something. Yep. Must learn something.
You think that, don't you?
No, it is actually true. There's a, you know, the simple fact that I spent, like, all that time coming up with stuff and writing stories, like, I'm a pretty darn good story writer.
You know, here's another thing that's sort of the opposite of that regret thing. Like, in addition to just these changes where it's just, it's not regret, it's just, you know, thinking differently.
Uh-huh.
Here's, do you ever think, like, just really the complete opposite of regret, just of the you that just went down all the wrong paths? Just, do you ever think about him?
I don't know what I would have done differently to have gone down all the wrong paths.
Not even all the wrong paths, just like a
when
couple.
When I worked with juvenile delinquents, I often thought of what I would have been like, you know, had I gone to an institution at the age of 15 or something like that. Like, what would I have done, et cetera, et cetera. I know, and I can't even kind of picture it. Like, what would I have done, a white kid in rural Pennsylvania, to get sent to a juvenile detention center? There were no opportunities, really, for me to get that far in life.
I feel like it involves firecrackers and flesh.
It would have had involved things that are so abhorrent to me and have always been so abhorrent to me that it would be a completely different guy. You know, I couldn't shoot a person in the face. Lord knows if I had had the stomach to shoot, take a gun to school and shoot someone, that I would already be in jail. But I never had the stomach for that kind of thing, so it didn't happen. So, you know, I can't even visualize it. I can't even imagine it.
And, you know, just to bring everything.
Bring it around.
All the way, around. Mm. Just pause and ponder for a moment. The world. If you think it's a good idea, send pictures of your dick to ladies.
Yeah, that would have been
digital pictures.
Anyone
can just put them on a computer.
I have doubts that I would be married now.
Digital pictures.
Actually, there is this one girl I dated, so I probably could be married now. We'll just leave it at that. All right, Dave, let's take a quick break. Be right back with viewer mail and more. I'm trying to think. And welcome back to more I'm Trying to Think, episode 41. That is Relax.
You seem to have kind of dropped the Frenchy thing.
No, Relax. It's by Frankie Goes to Hollywood, and French people are Franks. You know, Charlemagne.
Right, Song of Roland, that whole thing.
Yeah,
it was the whole
Franks, right. So Frankie, a French man, goes to Hollywood.
Oh, so is that
and
song?
And then he finds out that he should write a song about gay sex.
Is that song actually about Jean Renaud?
No, I think it's about gay sex.
Gerard Depardieu?
Having gay sex, maybe.
Well, I've seen French movies. That seems real plausible.
Wah, wah! All right.
Is that the official musical Chuck Sting of Gerard Depardieu having sex with someone?
Yes, but I forgot the one that I did at the top of the show.
Which is a pity, because that was a good one.
Yeah, so when I listen to the show again, I will remember it, and I'll try and memorize it, but I've forgotten it for this show.
Because I will say that early one was a good one. Yeah. The one you just used, well, I'll just say it like this. It's best if that's the Sting you only use when we're talking about Gerard Depardieu having sex.
Okay. The thing is, I'm not going to pause the show and go back and listen to me doing it again. I'll learn it, and in the future we'll use it again. And now, Dave, we have the segment called Listener Mail.
Listener Mail.
All right. Sorry. This mail is from Sarah Jordan.
Not sure if that's...
Of New York City, France.
Pronunciation.
All right, regardless. Hello, Chuck and Dave. I have only recently started listening to your podcast, and I am making my way through the archives in a haphazard and non-sequential fashion. Thus far, I find it very amusing, high-quality nerd humor and sarcasm. This is definitely to my tastes. The only thing I feel could improve the show is if you guys argued more. Seems each of you act as the other one's yes man. Dave, you don't think that's true, do you?
Maybe.
You're supposed to be my no man, Dave. You're supposed to be my no man.
She might have a... I'm your indecisive man.
Oh, no.
Man.
That could cause a lot of problems.
You give me an opinion, I'm going to waver on that like a motherfucker.
I think it would be more fun for we, the listeners, and also you, the hosts, for you guys to disagree with each other about stuff in an amusing and entertaining fashion.
That does sound delightful.
What is this? Pardon the interruption? Are you Mike Wilbon?
Am I Mike Wilbon?
I don't know. You're indecisive.
How am I supposed to...
See, now
you're indecisive.
Oh,
see, I was
going to
go against whatever you said. You said I was Mike Wilbon, I would say I wasn't.
No,
if you said I wasn't Mike Wilbon, I'd say I was.
I'm not Mike Wilbon.
You are.
No. Strife.
That is pretty good. Man.
Is it? I don't know.
It is.
I don't have an opinion.
Speaking of which...
Opinion House!
Yeah, if you want some conflict,
yeah,
you should check out episode 17. Opinion House.
Of Opinion House.
Actually, is that still in the feed? Man, I think our feed only gets... No, it goes back 25. You should still be able to snag Opinion House.
Well, it's on the website.
Then I'll, yeah, and it's on the website. Maybe I'll fix the feed. Should I fix the feed?
I don't know.
Yes.
I'm crippled with indecision.
Oh, man. Actually, you know, that would be a... Man,
crippled with indecision.
CWI.
We're not making that podcast.
I'm saying that should be the show right after PTI. It's just CWI.
We got...
Crippled with indecision. Two milquetoast, very meek sports writers.
Holy shit. Giant Dollhouse. Okay. We've got...
Opinion House.
We've got, there was a, I'd rather not think about that.
Yes.
Which is the alternative to I'm trying to think. And now we've got, Crippled with Indecision.
Yes.
Yeah. That actually could be our sports show, Crippled with Indecision. Yes. I think we could at least do a test episode of that, you know.
Let's do a pilot.
Brett Favre sending his penis to a girl. What do you think?
I don't know what to think about that.
I just don't have, I can't. Yeah. Unless I put myself into his shoes, and I mean, really,
yeah.
There's
not...
I mean,
you got to walk a mile in those Crocs.
You don't know, yeah. Crocs. Back to the email. She further writes, on to my point, I am writing to disagree with you guys, specifically Chuck. That's me.
Yeah, really. I just want to say, the title, headline, subject of this email is, I disagree with Chuck.
So I knew this was coming.
I'm going to say... It's a subject line I'm surprised we don't see more often.
Oh, that makes me laugh. Okay.
No, it doesn't.
Oh. Being decisive.
Oh.
Look out.
Allison, it's a new era.
She writes. She goes on to write, Dave.
No, she doesn't.
Dave, she goes on
to write.
This email
is over.
Alice in Wonderland, the Johnny Depp version, you recently discussed, is terrible, awful, horrible, irredeemable movie. She should have put an A in there or something, really.
Probably.
No offense to you, Sarah Jordan.
You know, typing, it happens.
Yeah, it happens.
No, it doesn't.
Myself to be a connoisseur of Tim Burton-Johnny Depp collaborations. I find this one to be
one of the, I find this to be one of the laziest movies they have ever delivered. The story was lazy. The acting was lazy, with the delightful exception of Helena Bonham Carter. The whole concept of the movie seemed to be, if we are weird enough with this, no one will be able to tell we are not trying. And, hey, we are kind of mainstream famous now, so why bother trying? Fuck it. I just wanted to make that point, she says. Now, here's what I'm going to say. Thank you, Sarah, for the email. Hey, everybody. Email is at contact@imtryingtothink.com. And you, too, can cause us to be crippled with indecision. Or not. I mean, it depends on what you write.
Also depends on our mood.
Now, if
sometimes
I may,
get decisive now.
Now, if I may,
you may not.
I will respond to Sarah's point.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you're pretty much right. You're pretty much right. I mean, yeah, it's a lazy movie. It's not really, they didn't try very hard. It doesn't break any ground. But this is how things work in the creative world. Tim Burton and Johnny Depp can get together and take a huge dump on the screen, and it's still better than 90% of the movies that I will ever watch. Better than 90%. And this brings me to a point that I want to discuss briefly, because we're almost over time, Dave. I mean, we don't have a time limit, but if we had a time limit, we would be over it. And that is, I don't know quite what to think of Guillermo del Toro.
All right, go on.
First of all, there are a lot of L's in his first name, and I don't get to pronounce any of them. Guillermo. That's not, what the hell? Second, he made Pan's Labyrinth, high-quality movie. Devil's Backbone, good movie. Then, and he's like a huge Lovecraft fan, and he was really anxious to try and make a version of At the Mouth of Madness, or Mountains of Madness, depending on, I don't know if...
At the Mouth of Mountains.
There's one's a movie, one's a book, one was written by Lovecraft, one is a hacky thing. That's much later, and I don't remember which is which. So, anyways, so that's, he's an interesting guy who plays and likes the video games that I like and stuff like that. And he's fat and has a black beard and curly hair, goatee and everything.
I didn't know that, but that makes a lot of sense.
There's similarities to me. But he wrote and directed Hellboy, which is quite possibly one of the worst movies ever made. Not because the Hellboy material is bad, not because even Ron Perlman is terrible, or anybody in the movie. Selma Blair apparently died of Hellboy-ectomyism, because she doesn't ever get to make movies anymore now. She made Hellboy, Hellboy 2, and then it's like, all right, now you have to go make shitty movies that no one ever watches. I don't know what that's all about, but... And have you seen Frasier's brother in anything since then? I'm just saying they may have killed him. The movie has a lot of interesting stuff going on. I liked a lot of the beginning of it and such. Then things started to happen. There were sewer monsters. They didn't kill them. They didn't get rid of them. They just were there. Hellboy just kind of left them there. Then Jeffrey Tambor was there. And then he just kind of disappeared. And they never got back to him.
I'm just going
to
tell you, one of those things makes a movie a lot better. The other one makes it a lot worse.
And then Fishboy, who was played by Fraser's brother, he was in the movie and then just disappeared. I mean, awful. Just awful continuity problems. Just... whole plot points just dropped on the cutting room floor, or who knows where else, perhaps into Guillermo del Toro's belly, because, as I said, he is a chubby man. He looks kind of like, you know what he looks like?
Nope.
A Mexican Peter Jackson.
Ah.
See, that's funny. All right. Now, moving on. I don't know what to think about Guillermo del Toro. So, you know, yep. Tim Burton, Johnny Depp, they make one piece of shit that I can still enjoy. You know, good for them. Yep. Guillermo del Toro, he's trying to take my beloved Lovecraft and make something out of it. That better be fucking good, man. You better not be riding the Hellboy train on that one.
And no matter what Joel Schumacher makes, it's awful, so.
I don't know. I've heard Tiger Milk was pretty good. Or is it, was it called Tiger Milk? I don't remember. It was the thing he made about, like, soldiers in boot camp.
Are you sure he didn't make, are you sure he did, he actually doesn't have a line of Tiger Milk? Like, Newman has dressings?
That's also possible.
Also, you know, it's, what's his name, George Newman? Is that it?
Paul?
Has the dress? Paul Newman has the dressings.
George Newman.
George Newman.
George Newman.
But Dave.
George Newman.
Dave. Don't you think it would be better if it was Randy Newman who made the dressings?
Yes.
This is Italian dressing with oregano and salt and other spices from Italian spices. It would just be good.
But then the thing is, though, the thing that makes it great is when you really just kind of peel under sort of the piano plinking and just sort of, you know, the goofy melodies.
Uh-huh.
It's a very bitter dressing.
Yeah, it's very bitter. And somehow makes you think of... Makes you think of political things. What the hell's that happen?
Bitter acidic dressing.
I don't know. All right, Dave. Well, thank you again to Sarah for writing us. We like fan mail. We like people who write fan mail. Sarah is holding out on us as far as fanning on Facebook. She thinks she deserves her 5-minute mini podcast before she fans us. Like, so it's, she's trying to get a, like a, barter economy set.
I think this mail. This has been some. This has been a few minutes of airtime discussion. I think we got this going.
No. It's not going to happen like that. It's not going to happen like that. I'm an artist, Dave. I think we discussed this. I'm an artist.
You're making things much more difficult and much less likely to happen
and
for yourself.
Much more artistic. Illical.
Self sabotage, the mark of a true artist.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, you definitely have to set up those traps for your future self to fall into. Because if there's one thing I've learned, first of all, it's that the identity of a person is really kind of an instantaneous thing, like the tangent of a curve. It is not truly a concrete concept, but rather one that is constantly changing. And that you, when you know a person, really you're only knowing them in the moment, and that things change over time, and people change just like that.
So you and, you know,
so me
a week,
at
fuck that
x
guy.
Equals 5...
Fuck
is
that
like,
guy.
Fuck me at X equals 10. You know.
Yeah, I'm leaving in 5.
Your friends don't just change, but you do too. And you might not like that guy you're going to become, so fuck him.
True.
And it's really
making assumptions.
You know, but the best part about it is that when I get to X equals 10 me, you know, when I'm further along, and I'm like, oh man, I really fucked myself over on this one. Then it turns out that maybe the past me would have liked the present me, but the past me is gone, so he has no regrets.
Yeah, but he, you know, when X plus 10, then that's the new X.
Yeah.
It's like, man, X minus 10 was a real dickhole.
Yeah, he was, but it doesn't matter because he's not around, so I can't do anything to him. So I project and then I take it out on X equals
X 10 plus
10. 10, yeah.
It's a vicious cycle.
It's not so much a cycle, it's kind of...
It's a vicious line.
It's a vicious line, and those go on forever, it turns out. Or curve, they are bad. They're bad.
If only there was some sort of guy who could break the cycle of a vicious line.
So you mean like a guy who could quantum rape into the future and... or past, and thus realign your curve?
Yeah. Just bend your hate.
Dave, I just have to tell you, curve hindsight is not 2020. Okay, actually, it is in math, but because you can do that calculation in regular math.
Yeah. Curve hindsight is tangent theta, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's like x dx. You derive to find the tangent. You don't want to integrate. That's going to get you something else altogether.
No, I think...
But I do think that a man is...
The sum of his parts?
Is integrated.
The sum of the area under his curve?
Yeah, is the sum of the area under his curve.
Oh, man, that took a turn to a thing. It almost sounds like a thing. I'm not 100% convinced it's a thing.
It's
but a that
thing.
Almost sounds like a thing.
It's a thing. I think we could make a t-shirt.
No, I'm going to bring it back around and close us off.
All right.
I got the idea. The thing. A man is the sum of all the area underneath his curve. All
right.
But he should not take pictures of it. You put them on the internet.
Yeah, I don't. We don't need to derive. We don't need to derive that none day.
Bam.
Let me ask you a question, though.
Sine, cosine, ding dong.
Do you? Do you have anything else to say before we close off this lovely episode 41 of I'm Trying to Think?
No, honestly, I regret that we even have a sort of standard closing, not spiel, but a sort of closing vibe we like to get, because I would have really loved to go hard out just on sine, cosine, ding dong, and we're gone.
You said hard.
Hey.
Oh. Oh, thank you very much for listening, and we'll be back next week, and also then another week. We'll be back 2 weeks from now with another episode of I'm Trying to Think. Enjoy this. It's Abracadabra, Dave, by the Steve Miller Band.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, no, I told you, this is actually Abracadabra.
I'm not convinced.
I don't think this is a good format for the show. Despite what listeners say.
I think it's great.
They don't have to sit in the room with you.
They do.
That doesn't even make sense.
It does.
No, I mean, look, you can make an opinionated difference for me.
I can't.
You can't just defy facts about the reality that we live in. That just doesn't...
We don't.
I do like this song, though.
Well, it's Abracadabra. Why wouldn't you?
Abracadabra, I'm gonna text you my penis.